Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron, and in the studio from Lost Tribe Aotearoa, I've got Tax. Morning, Tax.
Morning, bros. How you fellas doing?
Oh, we're good. And I just had to pop out of the studio.
Yeah, saw it.
Swap a car for the family. I got here, and Tux is like looking through the windows, going, "Where's Aaron?" But I was right behind you.
Perfect.
Hey, so you guys have got a new single. It's just out a few days ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, so Reflections, it's been a while. We've had this one in the works since about mid-COVID.
Okay.
We actually recorded it and had it going. It was actually a song written by my cousin through the COVID times. He wrote it with his little brother.
Yeah.
And so I've got a lot of love for this song. My cousin wrote it with his little brother, and it's about being true to yourself, to who you are, and taking that look in the mirror at yourself and seeing your reflection and, you know, going with your gut instincts and your conscience, like to be the best person you can be. And it's all right if, you know, stuff hits the fan and you're not doing too well, you know what I mean? It's all about picking yourself back up and working through everything, you know. Being the age of 14, I reckon it sort of happened here with a lot of the tamariki, with their school being so disrupted.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, not being able to go to school, so you don't have that interaction with people and with peers anymore. And it's a hard time. It was a hard time for them, if you put yourself in their shoes, being used to something and then that being taken away and just
being kind of that structure around their life.
That's exactly it. And being put into that little box at home where it's like, oh, what do we do? So this song was written on those terms with my cousin and his little brother, my little cousin, who sits in that 14-year-old bracket.
This is your cousin who's in the band writing it?
Yep. So Jesse, one of the singers in the band, him and his little brother, they wrote it at home when COVID was going down.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lovely story. Such a lovely story to hear that, you know, during those times that you can get, beautiful bit of art out there as they did.
Well, we'll play that in a little while. I've got it queued up, so we'll give that a spin soon. But you guys have got, you're playing at the Yacht Club Saturday nights?
Friday night. Yeah, Friday.
Okay, bad guess. All right. Friday on my piece of paper. And this is like a, you're actually, technically you're on tour already, aren't you?
Yep, so our tour started last week, so we were up in Whangarei.
Yep.
And had a massive one in Whangarei. Came in, everybody came from the north to show up that night, and it was good being back in there. It's been a while, but it's only a short tour, this one, because we kind of loaded up with festivals, which is amazing, because it makes it so much easier. It's a bit more streamlined when you're playing festivals, because everything's sort of there for you.
You just turn up and play.
Yeah, pretty much. So Friday, we've got this gig here on Friday, and then the last bit of this leg will be in Waihi. So we haven't played Waihi since, I think we played with Cornerstone Roots.
Long time.
Like four years ago, I think.
Right.
We played there, and so it's going to be interesting going back to Waihi Hotel, and it's going to be interesting playing back in the Yacht Club. We haven't played in Raglan for so long.
Really? I talked to you when which song came out? Was it New Generation 2.0?
Yeah, Lost Generation 2.0.
Lost Generation, sorry. Oh my God, this morning I'm
my man, I'm sorry.
But that's quite a few months ago, so you haven't been doing that much since then?
We haven't played in the Yacht Club. We've done a couple little mini tours, Hastings, couple festivals, one down to Whanganui, but just scattered. Our plans during COVID sort of got smashed.
Yeah.
And we set up so many tours and lost money on them, so we had to really gauge everything.
How do you get your money back in a situation like that?
Well, you don't.
Yeah, or you've got to earn it back, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. And you've got to be a bit more strategic with everything. So with this one, we sort of just felt it out. We put our calls out to a lot of festivals.
Yeah.
And got a lot of good feedback. So with festivals, we sort of planned a small tour in between these festivals and then sort of just work this summer out and then get to the next summer and next winter and really plan another solid gig setup out for us.
So there's a lot of festivals at the moment.
Lots.
I've given up trying to count them.
No, there's lots of new ones. There's lots of new ones popping up, which is awesome for New Zealand music. We need more platforms to show off our music. And that was probably a positive over that COVID time. What was a bit ugly was a lot of support from radio, like you guys, actually playing our music and showing like New Zealand music pushing that a bit more than international music.
Yeah.
And having now we've got these platforms and new platforms coming up, and like artists not being able, for overseas artists not being able to play the festivals last year, sort of open spaces for smaller bands that are just coming through to be able to have a platform to play their music to, yeah, to bigger crowds. Yeah.
It's always been, over my lifetime, it's always been an issue of getting New Zealand to take its own music seriously.
Yep.
Especially the radio industry when I was young. They had real trouble getting them to take even Crowded House. They wouldn't play Crowded House when they first came out.
So yeah, I wonder why that is, eh? It's
a cultural cringe of some type. I don't know. Afflicted the older generation, not us.
Yeah.
We know.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you can definitely see the change. Well, you see it with like Triple J in Australia. They started pushing their own music and made an amazing platform for their music. Where
also, I get some of my music from them because, you know, I read years ago, I read this Rolling Stone article about how they choose the songs to go on their playlist.
Yeah.
And they don't look at numbers and you know, things like that.
Yeah.
They just, the DJs and the managers sit around every week and argue with each other about, you know, or debate what's the best song. And they argue passionately for the songs they believe in.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
no,
I
should have
thought that was awesome. Yeah, yeah. It's the only radio station I've heard of that does that. But, yeah, that's, yeah, Triple J is awesome.
Yeah, Triple J is awesome like that. And, like, look what they've done for Australian music now. Like,
yeah,
they've brought up a lot of bands.
Yeah.
A lot of bands. I see the Edges starting to do it with having, like, Maruki, and, like, they've just had Summer Thieves and the smaller bands, but I think it still lacks in New Zealand having a bigger platform or a platform for New Zealand bands to come up and show stuff.
Yeah, well, we get, like, you can see here there's these rows of Kiwi Hit discs.
Kiwi Hits.
They don't send out actually discs anymore. We just download it. But
yeah.
We get, yeah, they've always been, that. I think that was the closest they got in New Zealand to having a radio station that at least supplied music to the radio station.
Nature's Best, was it? Have like
Oh, that's a compilation, yeah. But this is every month they send out some new New Zealand music to the radio stations, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so they've been doing that for a long time, like 20 years or so.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, your guys' stuff turns up on them sometimes.
Is it? Sick.
Yeah, I don't know how you get on there. You probably don't know either. Someone else must be doing that.
No, someone in space is looking down on us. I didn't even know that.
New Zealand on Air does that.
It'd be through New Zealand on Air.
Yeah, but before they were doing that, there was a lot less music on New Zealand radio. So,
yeah.
And I'm talking like 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was different. But there's lots. But is the radio such a big deal? What's the big deal now? Is gigs is how you guys actually make a living out of the music, eh?
Yeah, so gigs like, you don't really get much money back on. We need radio, though. Well, I still listen to radio. I listen to all the shows.
Yeah, cool.
You know, I'm a big fan of Raglan Radio. But you do need radio because radio sort of counts towards the charts.
Oh, okay.
So if you're getting played on radio, then that goes towards the charts. And then if you get put on the charts and people see you on the charts, it sort of validates you and your band in a way. So
it's visibility, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So that sort of gives you another platform to work on, even if no one listens to the radio, or they say no one does, like, it still counts as something, and it's a lot more. Obviously, your hard copy sales are a lot more, but, you know, radio counts for a lot as well.
People are listening, but they listen differently now. They listen a lot in their cars.
Yep.
So if you've got good driving music, that's probably helpful.
I get sick of Spotify, though, in the car.
Yeah.
Unless I'm listening to like a podcast, but like, I actually prefer radio. Like, listen to a lot of talkback as well.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, you know that there's someone there.
There's a human being involved.
At the same time, it's not just, you know, a robot like switching through songs, you know, an algorithm thinking like, oh, you'll like this song next. It's like a person you can connect with and be like, ah, I agree with you, or I disagree with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's instead of the algorithm just trying to manipulate you into sticking with it. Yeah, yeah, okay. Hey, for the gig on Friday night, who have you got a support act?
So, yeah, we got Logie. So he's just come back from America. He's a good friend of ours from Hawke's Bay.
Yeah.
And he'll be playing a loop set for us. And I've seen the bro in a very long time, but he's played with a couple big guns over in America. And, like, he's done the last 3 years traveling around, perfecting his skill to what, you know, his finished product is. So he's on Spotify as well and YouTube, so check him out. Logie,
spelt
L-O-G-E-E.
Yeah, I think I saw that before.
Yeah.
So okay, so that's what's happening there. But different supports in different places as you tour, or?
Yep. So we got Silk Tide. So that's another local band from Waihee that are playing out, and pretty sure they got stuff on Spotify as well. So check out Silk Tide. We try to get bands from areas that we play in.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, it's kind of nice if you got a band or you get a hand up. If we got a crowd, sort of like giving the crowd to the opening band. So like you take, you show up and you play an amazing gig, then 10 or 20 of those people that are watching your gig will come to your next gig, and that's sort of how you, you know, you grow a fan base organically. And
so that's how it happened for you guys.
Yeah, well, Cornerstone Roots. Yeah, Cornerstone Roots took us around on like their, well, our first tour was with Cornerstone Roots, and you know, their followings that they had with throughout Aotearoa that we sort of jumped on, and like people would come and see them, but they saw us, and then they realized, oh shit, these guys are really good. So then when we done our own tour and we hit those same spots that Cornerstone took us to,
people came
then
back.
Those 20 people will turn back up and we'll play to those 20 people, and then they'll talk to their friends, and then, you know, they'll come back and you'll have 50 people. And it's just like...
So you've seen that as you go around the country each time?
Yeah, like the first 2 years we played 53 gigs in the years, the first 2 years.
Yeah.
That's a lot of gigs.
In New Zealand. It's not that many venues.
I know. But we just drilled ourselves into these venues so that we could grow these places. And we tested out some new spots that didn't work.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to try. It's the grind. You know,
so where's the place outside of here that you guys get big crowds showing up?
Whangarei.
Right.
Gisborne.
Up north.
East. Hawke's Bay. Wellington.
Oh, everywhere
there. And Taranaki, yeah. So these areas that we've worked on, like we've weaned them down to certain bars and areas that work for us, that we've like organically grown these, and people from outside those areas obviously travel up to come watch us as well.
Yeah. Well, everyone likes to go to a good show with a good crowd.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It's a hard one sometimes, especially when you're starting off and you play to like two people.
Have you had that?
Oh, heaps. Oh. I think we've played our best gig was at Whakatane, and it was the opening band and two other people that were in the crowd. But we played the tightest gig, the best gig. And I think that shows like how good a band you can be. If you can play your heart and soul out to just two people, then you know those two people will bring someone back. But it's harder to do that than when you've got like 1,000 people in front of you. 1,000 people. Kind of easy.
Yeah.
You know, they get into it, there's a vibe already there. So you can just, you don't actually have to do as much work. But if there's two people, your work rate goes up because you're like,
that's a good way to hone the band's skill, eh? Well, not just skill, but the ability to create the vibe.
And comfortableness. Being in those situations where most people be like, oh, bro, this is shit. You know, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
We don't want to be here. Just being like, well, bro, think of it this way. This is going to be the most epic band practice in a giant PA. We should enjoy this giant PA. Let's enjoy this PA.
Yeah, take the positive perspective.
Yeah.
So the songs that have been coming out, is that part of an album?
So EP.
EP.
EP, Lost and Found EP. So we've got one more song to release off the EP, and then we've got a couple songs in Te Reo that'll be coming along as well that we still have to go up to Roundhead and record.
We've got... Where there's a month where they come out. What month is that?
To Māori Music Month.
Yeah,
I think a lot come out there.
Language
Māori Language Month. So I'm not even gonna. I don't think we even wait for that.
Okay.
There's so much noise during that time. I think it's just like we'll just release it just to release it. You know.
Yeah, like all the big stars are putting
all
out
the big
Māori
stars
language
are putting
ones,
it
so,
out.
Yeah.
So it's easy to get swamped, and those are the little things that you've got to think about.
Yeah.
Being like being a smaller band in Aotearoa.
And those Kiwi Hit Disc things I was telling you about before, I noticed on them, in the last year, the last couple of years, a lot more Māori language songs coming out, just as seen as just normal in the mainstream, not something that has to be
have its own
introduced carefully.
That's exactly.
Like that.
It doesn't have to have its own sector. It's music.
Yeah.
It comes under the umbrella of music. It's not under the umbrella of Māori music, just music.
Just music. Yeah, why not? Yeah. So who are you listening to at the moment? What bands are you listening to?
Whoa, this is a hectic one. This is a really hectic one.
It's just the next song on the next question on my list.
Yeah, perfect.
But it's kind of interesting to see, like, because people want to know, they want to see if that's feeding into the music that you guys are making.
Me at the moment, I actually listen to a lot of like minimal.
Okay.
A lot of like electro music.
Right, so completely different.
Yeah, so I've got a studio at home, so I make a lot of electro music just for myself, call it my car music.
Yep.
So like Tin Liquor.
That's obscure, I don't know who they are.
Yeah, Paul Kalkbrenner.
Yeah.
Roy Scott. Growing up in France, I grew up in France for a big chunk of my life, and that sort of music was what I used to listen to over there. So I've sort of had a like... a re-love for it all, and sort of got back into listening to that.
Yeah. So you like listening to that when you're a teenager? Or?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the stuff that sticks with you, man. You never lose it.
Yep. And obviously you've got your classics that everyone listens to as well, that, you know. Yeah, but that's pretty much it at the moment, electro music.
Like. So is anyone ever going to hear this music you're making for your car?
maybe one day I'll probably release it under some little obscure alias and send it out into the world for the fun of it.
Yeah.
But that'll be a one day thing. One day.
Do you try to introduce it to the guys when you're writing a new song?
All day.
New
song?
Hey guys, I've got this new electronic thing we could do.
Yeah, the boys will listen to it and they're just like, yeah. I think that's a nice thing about having my own little side hustle is that it can get almost kind of full on just always doing reggae or for the band stuff, so it actually pulls my mind out of that box of music to explore different music, to be able to inject something different within the band, you know, whether it be different style of chord progressions or different style of melodies that you come up with.
Yeah,
I find it's a nice way to build another bit of tension within my music.
Yeah,
going away from what actually the music I play professionally, you could say, you know, then going over and actually I'm loving this music here and, you know, figuring out these new ways and new things to do on the computer to make different sounds, and then being able to like come back to reggae or roots or rock or you know, organic instruments, and being able to be like, oh shit, that thing sounds cool in there, but that's not really one of those pieces that you actually play in there because it sort of comes from this side. But you can sneak all these little things into, you know, to adapt sound within the Lost Tribe sound.
So it's interesting you use the word organic, because a lot of music now is like everything, it's made on the computer and everything's auto-tuned and the beats are all regimented by the computer system, everything's perfectly perfect, and it doesn't necessarily mean bad music out of that. There's some great music that comes out of that, but there is something about that, like the organic vibe,
that you can't
replicate.
You can't. And I think as an EDM producer, we try to make electro sound organic.
Right.
So it's kind of a catch 22, because as a producer, you know, we're chucking saturation, we're chucking like vinyl crackle in the back so it sounds organic. We're trying to add like distortion to certain things so it sounds like an old microphone in a dirty room or some random reverb on it, and just using spring delays to make things sound organic like they're done analog, but they're not. You know what I mean? And then it's definitely one of the hardest things to find within EDM, but you know, you have to have organic sounds. You know what I mean? And like playing organic music and then music that's made on a computer, they're so contrasted, you know, they're so different.
Mm. So when you're recording a Lost Tribe track, is it just, well, I guess the band doesn't play live, you're probably a bit more detailed than that, but no.
So we've made a pact in the band that we'll never have backing tracks, and everything that we do play on our tracks, we have to be able to play live.
Okay, cool.
So everything that we've got that we play on our tracks, we can play live as well. Even though it does get hard sometimes, we're like, oh, just chuck a little one of these in there, a little one of those in there, a little one there. It's so tempting.
But there's six of you, isn't there?
Eight.
Oh, eight. Oh.
Yeah, we're massive.
You should be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, something I wanted to ask you about was the Whangarei Talent Factory, the event we had for the young ones in town in October.
That was amazing.
Yeah. What did you think of the talent on there with the?
Well, it was pretty epic to see. I came to one a couple of years before that as well, but this year they just stepped it up. I like the structure of it. There's a girl, Luna.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
Her voice, it's really awesome.
Wow. It's so trained and so crystal clear. Like, I buzzed out when I saw that. So Luna was a massive standout for me. And Wudumu.
He was rapping.
So he was.
If people can't remember. Yeah.
He was rapping and he made his own songs and his own beats. And that resonated with me. That resonated with me a lot. just because, you know, put himself out there, you know, and like there's so many tamariki in his shoes, and for him to be able to sing about his daily lives, how he does, and make music behind that, yeah, it's very amazing. I've got the chance to actually sit in the studio with Whitamu after that. I sort of swap numbers with him because I'd love to work with him or just show him stuff and you know what I know about making music, whether it be like EDM or rock, they sort of translate over all of these little things, and he played me a few songs at home at the studio, and I was just like, oh my god, bro, you actually need to get these out, you know, when you feel comfortable to, obviously, but they need to be heard, because what he writes about is really relevant, really, really relevant to what's happening in New Zealand with young kids these days.
Yeah, you know, he's got kind of conscious lyrics, eh?
He's got very conscious
lyrics.
Actually,
I remember him saying that was really important to him to have truth in the lyrics, not just be saying any old thing. But
yeah. It's not about how many cars he drives or or the girls and stuff like that. It's actually very conscious and about what's happening to not only him but people around him as well. And I think that's a very it's a very hard thing to do as a musician and as a songwriter to be able to put down words that you know hit spots in people's hearts and make people think about you know what you're saying, and a lot of his lyrics do that at his age. He's only a young fella, so you know, I can't wait to see what comes out of him.
And you want to make some music with him?
Yep, definitely want to make some music with him, or just aid him on his journey. Because sometimes that's a better way, instead of putting what my music is towards him, is just giving him tools to do what he's doing and actually, you know, figure it out for himself. Because he's already got his own style. He's got his own way of writing music. So just, in a way, just nurture what he can do.
Yeah, you were telling me off there that he's really, sampling is something that he's really good at already. I think he's like 17 or something. So.
Yeah, he's an amazing sampler. I didn't even know how to sample because I was just showing him how to just like spectrum of where instruments.
Oh, I know where he learned. He was doing it during class time at school.
Yep.
That's what he said.
So there
he
we got, go, kids.
He got in trouble for working on his music in class.
So there we go. That's like, well, obviously if you're going to class doing that, you're really passionate about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, just trying to figure out how we can get these tools for Whitamu and seeing what he can do with them, because I know he can do it.
Yeah.
I know he can make amazing music, so... Yeah.
And what about just going up on stage? There was like 150 people or something watching, and it's just him and a backing track. So does it feel much more vulnerable than like you've got your crew
so
around you?
Vulnerable, man. Like I've before I played just guitar and just sung.
Yeah,
bars and clubs, and then got the band obviously, and then I went to go back to another gig at the Old School Arts Centre, and it's kind of scary. It's kind of scary just being up there with a guitar. I can hide behind a guitar.
Yeah, that's right. He hasn't even got that.
He ain't got a guitar.
He's got a microphone.
He's just got a microphone standing there. And then not only that, is he's putting his own music he made. I'd cringe if I had to put some of my Doof Doof music through a loudspeaker in front of 150 people and stand there and sing.
Yeah.
That's so hard. That's a tough thing. But he'd done it, and he stood up there, and he'd done his music and introduced himself, and he'd done amazingly. So
I didn't talk to him after that show. Did he enjoy that? Or was he?
He was stoked.
He was stoked.
So you can see it in their eyes, eh? When you know, when a student or anyone's come off stage and they've had a good time, there's a crystal glassiness to their eyes when you're like,
and you can see when the crowd, like when they get that big roar of support from the crowd at the end of the track, that, you know, it's the first time they get it.
Yeah,
that's like it's really opening their eyes to what that experience can
be. Well, that's it. It's sort of like there's a focal point, eh? And you're the focal point for 150 people, so that's a lot of energy for some people to be like, it's on you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And then for everyone to applaud and send their love to you, you know, it's a lot to take in.
Well, we look forward to hearing some tracks on Whitamu.
Yeah, me too.
Sometime soon, hopefully. Yeah. Hey, folks, we're talking to Tux from Lost Tribe Aotearoa, playing Friday night at the Yacht Club. What time should people turn up?
Nine. Doors open at 9. Maybe the first act will be on around 9:30. So get in at 9.
Okay.
Come and support Logie.
And like it's the support. And we're going to play the new track, Reflections. Do you want, I know you talked about it a lot at the start, but do you just want to give us the lowdown on it again for anyone who's just tuned in?
So, Whānau, this is our new track, Reflections. It's all about being true to yourself, being conscious about yourself, and being who you are unapologetically, and, you know, just live life, love life.
Good message, man. Thanks for coming in.
Cheers, buddy.
It's been a long, hard day and I'm free to say, think I'm about to lose my mind. Then I heard a voice inside my head and this is what it said. Say, won't you sit down, it'll only take a minute, this is what I have to say. I've had a hard day too, trying to deal with you, think I'm about to go crazy. Said I'm about to go crazy, said we're about to go crazy. Take a good hard look at yourself.
With Aaron Lost Tribe Aotearoa there with Reflections, and you can get that performed for you live at the Yacht Club on Friday night. I was just looking at the What's On guide. You can actually go to the yard for the Jonathan Crayford Trio at 7:30, and if you get your timing right, head over to the Yacht Club for Lost Tribe, and supported by Logie as well.